Genesis chapter 1, if you would. Genesis chapter 1. I want to thank Brother Bale for inviting us to be here. What a blessing it was to be here last year. The sweet spirit, the songs, the welcome of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Boy, I tell you, if you have a meeting without the Spirit of Almighty God, it's just for naught. What a blessing it is to be here with Dr. Darrell Cox. He's my hero, a legend in the ministry. And I don't just say that because I'm up here. You can ask my wife anytime you want to, who's your hero? And it's Dr. Darrell Cox. You know, we have those special men in our life. I believe that sometimes we need those men to pour our heart out to. He's the type of man that me, been in the ministry for 20 years now, I could lay my head on his chest and cry my eyeballs out, and he'd be there to hear me and help me if I needed to be helped. Amen. There comes a time, you know, sometimes when you're praying and asking God about the message and what you should preach. And boy, I had some messages I wanted to preach tonight. And the Lord led me this afternoon coming up Highway 23 to a message. And a message that I really don't care anything about preaching. He gave it to me 15 years ago. And I don't remember the last time I placed it in my Bible. And I said, are you sure, God? Tonight, I said, there's many other messages and new messages I'd like to preach tonight. And I'm sure. I need a confirmation. Dr. Cox gets in the vehicle tonight and sits with us, and one time after another begins to recite these problems that all include Satan manifesting himself in situations in the darkness and bringing havoc and destruction to families and lives and ministries. And the Spirit gave me the confirmation. I hate Satan tonight. But to be honest with you, I also hate attacking him because it always brings repercussion. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to mind God tonight and mind the Spirit of God, because we live in a day and time that truly he needs to be exposed from the times he needs to be exposed. Now open up your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll read several passages of Scripture and then I'll jump right into the message. And the Bible said, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And the earth brought forth grass, and in verse 12, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. In verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. You see the trend we got going right here. Anything with God is good. Amen. In verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very, very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us. God, I pray that you would touch me in a most special way. I pray that you'd lead and guide and direct my mind, my heart, my soul. God, not have me to say anything that I should not say, but everything that I should. God, I pray that every ear would be open, dear God, tonight, and every heart allowing thy word to penetrate even the callous place, dear God. I thank you so much in what you're going to do tonight and in this great meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. We have to ask ourselves, truly, why are we here? And who's responsible for us being here? It is Satan, truly. Satan wants to destroy every single thing that God has ever created. I hate him tonight, and I want to see God expose him for who he is. I'm not going to preach a new truth tonight. You know that. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. I just simply want to push a refresh button in our hearts. Amen. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, and we need a fresh anointing from God himself. Amen. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Leaded by the Holy Spirit of God, what do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? What do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? We know that everything that God does is good, but we can look over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1.
and see the problem.
And
the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want to make a statement before I get into the message. I try to make it everywhere that I go. I love this statement, and I've been making it for almost 20 years. Don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want at the moment. Amen. I'll say it again. You ought to write it in your Bible, and you ought to live by it. Amen. Don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want at the moment. I don't care tonight. I love you, but I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much you stay in this book. I don't care how close you walk to God. Sooner or later, there's going to be a time to when Satan shows up in your life and he is going to tempt you. I'm going to tell you that one thing, and I beg you tonight, don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want at the moment. Every one of us wants a godly marriage. We want a godly life. We want godly children. Some of you young people want a godly dating relationship. What you do is mess around and you live right and do right, but in that one time, in that heat of the moment, you sacrifice what you want most for what you want at the moment. That word subtle. I did an intense study on that word. Same synonymous wording is cunning, crafty, deceitful, sly, wily, refined, keen, overnice, clever, smooth, skillfully executed, and mischievously artful. That is Satan. That is the word subtle. And he's coming to every single one of us. I'm sick and tired of him tearing down the work of the ministry, the men of God, the families, the marriages, the children. What do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? Number one, you get destruction. Destruction all over the world. Destructions of homes and marriages and ministries and churches and relationships and colleges. And how does he bring destruction? It's right there in Genesis 3:1. He just simply said, hath God said. Every time I hear it, Brother Cox, every time I hear that somebody sacrificed what they wanted most for what they wanted in the moment, it was because they questioned God. They questioned God and they questioned his authority and who he is. How do you do that? You question this book right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The year that I was born, my daddy was called to dig the foundation for the fastest growing fundamental Baptist church in East Central Alabama. He went out to dig that footing. My daddy was a drunkard, and he was an abusive father, and he was not saved, and he was known to be the best excavator of anybody around that land. He's out there digging that foundation, and he got off to get a drink of water, and the pastor took an old King James Bible and led him to Christ. He got saved by the grace of God. Well, you know what he did? He went to church right after he got saved. So he's there that following Sunday. You know what? My mama got saved. My older brother, he's 13 years older than me. He gets saved. Two sisters older than me, they get saved. I'm born that year. For 5 years, they stayed in a hot preaching fundamental Baptist church. Dr. Lester Roloff would land his plane there, get out with his girls, come in, preach a week revival. It was unbelievable. People was coming 100 miles to hear him preach, and people were getting saved week in and week in. 5 years. Long story short, a church split right down the middle. And the sad thing about it is, my daddy fell out of the house of God, never to return again. I'm 5 years old this time. Let me say this, fathers. Are you going to be grounded on people or grounded on the Word of God? I love my daddy, but years down the road, I realized what the situation was. He was grounded on relationships rather than being grounded on the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, Daddy, you won't produce a product like you want. You'll produce a product like you are. And as a young man, I never been around preaching and teaching from the Word of God. I'm from the Bible Belt, and I'm going to tell you, I've always respected the Bible. I've always believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I've always respected church and what it is, but I truly didn't know anything about it because I wasn't brought up in the house of God. Therefore, Daddy, you won't be what you want. He'll be what you are, sir. And you know what I turned into? I turned into a drunkard. I turned into a drug addict. I turned into somebody that lives a rebellious life. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's what will happen out here in this world. If you get upset with the Word of God, if you question the Word of God, if you dart out those church doors right there, trying to find another place.
Amen.
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 Question God. What do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? You get destruction. Number two, get salvation. I want to thank God tonight, regardless of how awful that sounds. Regardless of how bad Satan can be, regardless of how he tears up families and churches and ministries, son, I've done read the end of this book, and I find out it ends a whole lot better than it started, amen. Amen. Revelation 12:9, the Bible said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. I'm going to tell you something, praise God tonight, for the blood of the Lamb, amen. And the word of the testimony, your testimony is priceless tonight. I'm going to tell you, this world needs to see some Christians and live like Christians, walk like Christians, talk like Christians, or head into the house of God when the doors are open, amen.
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 Good. I was telling you how I lived a miserable life in sin and unsaved. But I thank God that the man that knocked on my door took me down an old trail on August 21st in 1994. He took me to that place of Calvary.
Hey.
Folks, you can't never go wrong preaching on Jesus.
Amen.
I said you can't never go wrong preaching on Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, he took me there to the streets of Jerusalem. And he showed me a man that was called guilty. Oh, he wasn't guilty, son. He couldn't be guilty. He was perfect. He never sinned, nor had he ever thought of sin, but they said he was guilty, amen. I'm going to tell you, they came out there, and the Bible said they spit on him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I can't understand that. I really can't. I know you can't understand it. I can see it in your eyes. There's something about old filthy, nasty wads of corruption that comes out of somebody's mouth, and you spit it out on somebody else. I'm not spiritual, not to try to take your jawbone off with my fist. But what did he do, son? He absolutely did nothing. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he saw a little old drunk down there in Alabama, and he loved him, and he knew where he had to go, amen. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. The Bible said they plucked his beard out. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said they took a crown of thorns and shined it down on his beautiful brow, and as the blood trickled down, they mocked and they laughed and they pointed their finger at him. Oh, but that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. They stripped his garments off of him. Can you imagine the pure shame of a man? And let me tell you something. He was a man's man. Oh, yes, he was God. But he suffered the exact same thing as you as I suffered. If we went through the same thing, oh, the embarrassment and shame. Why, Brother Rob? For you and for me. The things that we need to push a refresh button. The reason we're here tonight, amen. The reason we're saved by the grace of God. That wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. They took their old Roman soldiers, and the Bible clearly said that he buffeted his face. That word buffeted means brute force with a fist as hard as an individual can hit over and over the beautiful face of our Savior. Oh, what did he look like, Brother Rob? He didn't look like that little skinny anemic thing that you see in Walmart and some of them stupid pictures. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said he was beyond recognition. That means if you'd known him all his life, you couldn't recognize who he was. I believe his lips was turned inside out. I believe his eyes was swelled shut. But that wasn't enough, friend. No, they took the cat of nine tails, a scourge, a wooden instrument about yay long. It had nine thongs on it, nine boot laces made of leather, and they had bone and glass and metal embedded in them. And a Roman soldier would reach back as hard as he could and whip and snatch that lacerations into his body. Many history books say that people that was going to be crucified never made it to the cross. They died of the scourge. Oh, but not our Savior. He had a place to go, and it was the cross of Calvary. And he had to bear that cross for me and for you. Oh, but then they took him and they placed him on that old cross. My mind goes back there and think about what the expressions must have been of those Roman soldiers when he reared back with that hammer and Jesus laid his hand out. They didn't have to put it down. He laid it out for you and I and drove those spikes in. They stood that cross up and dropped it down in that hole and you could hear the flesh tear. Oh, I'm talking about the Bible account tonight. I'm not talking about the world's account. I'm talking about somebody who went through sheer suffering because he loved every single one of us. Hey, brought out those thieves with brute force and fighting with everything they can. You think about it. If you're fixing to be put on the cross, whether you're guilty of innocence, you're going to fight with everything you've got to fight with. They're yelling and screaming at the world. Oh, sure, they're guilty, but they're trying to get away. They stood them up and jammed them down in a hole. One of them said, hey, if you're God, come down. Save yourself and save us.
Yeah.
The other one rebuked and said, Father, remember me the day that thou come into thy kingdom. He said, today,
amen,
thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
I love looking at the three crosses. Amen. I love looking at those three crosses. Why? Because I was on that cross.
Amen.
There was a day and time and I was on that cross, Brother Cox.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something, son. There's nothing like the love that drew salvation to you.
Amen.
I had to change my life verse. And I'm going to tell you about it quickly. I was riding down the road. We all know that verse, for God so loved the world. What a sweet, sweet verse, isn't it? But you know what? That verse never really done anything deep down inside of my heart and my soul. Because it says world. And buddy, I come across a verse that day. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You can put Rob Hicks's name right there. He said me. And I'm going to tell you something. He gave himself for me on that cross. It transformed my life. It transformed my Christianity. I'm going to tell you, I entered into revival August the 21st of 1994. That's nearly 23 years ago. I've never exited out. Neither do I plan to. I don't give a rip, son. I've never needed a congregation. I've never needed a crowd. I praise God more in that hotel room an hour ago than I will tonight. Woo! Somebody say amen!
Amen.
We just need to push a refresh button tonight. We need to start this thing off on Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to expose those Satan and who he is and what he wants to do. We need to move on to bigger and better things, amen. I said, what do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? Number one, you get destruction. Number two, you get salvation. And number three, you get proclamation, amen. Let me give you a definition. Publication by authority, official notice given to the public. I'm talking about preaching tonight, amen. You can't have a devil without destruction, a Savior without salvation, or a preacher without proclamation. Amen. Isaiah 6:8 said, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Amen. Isaiah 61:1, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open up the prisons of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. I'm going to tell you something, church. The equal rights are coming out tonight. The women's superior rights are coming out tonight. Where in the devil are the preachers tonight? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Boy, we need some real preachers in America tonight. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the old stories. I'm sick and tired of having to read all the biographies. Bless God, I want to hear some good stuff about some good young men right now. I want to hear some things about some young men that are not for sale.
Amen.
I was preaching out in California. I was preaching out there here a while back. And I was running a meeting, and we was having a revival. And the pastor said, hey, Brother Rob, said, I was going to take you out tonight, but I got a couple that said they'd take you out and have a meal with you. And I said, that's fine. That's great. That's okay. I said, we can do it another time. And we went out to this restaurant, and we sat down. And we began eating just like any other time and fellowshipping and talking. I was enjoying myself, and I thought they were, amen. And all of a sudden, the woman looks up to me, and she didn't say, Brother Rob, this, that, and the other. She said, I want to tell you something, preacher. She said, I don't like you screaming preaching. Now, I'm still gracious. I yell and scream like this, but I am never rude at one-on-one out there. I'm just not. I mean, I don't know why I've never planned a delivery. I don't know God created me this way, I guess. I can't explain it. But I'm never rude to an individual. I better not say never. I probably lie if I say never. Almost never, amen. Woo! Woo! And I said, okay, ma'am. Well, I mean, listen, I apologize. Sometimes that the voice, it might make your ears uncomfortable. And I said, if it does, I said, truly, I apologize to you. She said, I'm going to tell you something else. She said, these other people around here don't like you screaming preaching either. I said, well, that's all right, ma'am. I said, everybody's got an opinion. And I said, I don't plan my delivery. I promise you, I don't. She said, I'm going to tell you something else. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, it's my husband right here. And my husband's going to be the one that's going to be making your offering check out at the end of this meeting. I said, ma'am, let me tell you something right now. You are looking at a preacher that is not for sale. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You're not threatening me with your cotton-picking pocketbook. You're not threatening me with your backslidden deacons or your long lizard-tongued Jezebel. I say, hold your tongue, heifer. We ain't putting up with all that junk. We need some real men of God that can preach tonight. You say, well, Brother Rob, what kind of message is it? I call it a wildcat message. It just scratches everything it gets around. Amen. America needs preachers. The mission field needs preachers. And I'm going to tell you something, son. It was a rooster that crowed and woke Peter up and not a hen. Amen. I believe what we ought to do. And I believe what we ought to do. I'm going to tell you, this probably ain't right. Amen. It probably is not politically correct either. But when we was young, I guess we just done a few things that wasn't all right. But you know, you could take any old stray dog you wanted to. I probably ought not say this, but I got to. And you can take some old gunpowder, and you can mix it up in some old dog food, amen. Take that gunpowder out of them shotgun shells, Brother Kyle, and you can feed that dog, and I'm going to tell you something, son. It done something to his wavelengths in his brain. I mean, they get to total cross out. Buddy, they go absolutely crazy, man. I mean, they worse than any pit bull dog. You ever say, you take aluminum baseball bat and beat their brains out, and they still eat you up. I say, in these colleges across America, we all need to get together, preachers, amen, and get us a tractor trailer loaded of gunpowder and go to these dining halls and sprinkle it all over that food and cut them loose in America, amen. Son, these preachers are for sale tonight. Matthew 3:1, the Bible said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching, amen. He didn't come picking no cotton-picking guitar, did he? In the wilderness of Judah, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to tell you, son, if we don't get back to repentance and the old-fashioned altar right here, we're going to lose America. And I ain't talking about this hogwash repentance salvation. I ain't getting into none of that. You know what I'm talking about. Son, godly sorrow brings repentance. Amen. You listen, Jeremiah 29. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But the word of the Lord was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The Bible said, shut up in my bones. How many times, preacher, have you been beat down and wore down to where you just didn't feel like you could go no more? You said, you know what? I'm just not going to do this anymore. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody's moving. It's like God's not even alive in his life. And son, you start walking away, and all of a sudden, shut up in thy bones, amen. You can't stay. You got to open up that Bible. You got to preach the word of God. There's been over 200 men that have walked the aisles in the last 15 years and surrendered to preach the word of God under this preaching right here from this book and this message. But I say tonight, where are you? Where are you? Where are you when he shut that spirit up in your bones, sir, and you walked the aisle? You actually signed my Bible with your name, and you said you're going to preach the word of God. Tonight, where are you, sir? Silence.
Hey.
Pulpits are being silent.
Right.
Huh? Little old girlfriend out there got you wound around her fingers so tight, son.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
You look like the stretch done been took out of the slinky, amen.
Amen.
Huh? Come on, girls, you let me know you're with me, amen. Shake a hanky, throw a rock, let me know where you stand. Boyfriend looked like he's choked on peanut butter and 40 miles from water. Mama looked like she'd been sucking pickle juice through a 4-inch PVC pipe. Brother Rob, I heard it. I heard it, Brother Cox. Brother Rob, I'd surrender to preach if I thought I could do it. Brother Rob, my heart's burning right now. It's on fire. God's doing something in my heart. Now, if I thought I could preach, I'd do it. Son, you won't ever do it. You better not ever think you can preach. Son, I'm going to tell you something. Boy, I was called to preach in 1997 down in Monroe, North Carolina. Dr. Bobby Leonard's church and some preacher, I didn't know who in the devil he was. I still don't know who in the devil he was. All I know, he's 29 years old and he pastored in Jacksonville back in 1997. One of these days, I'm going to hunt him down. My heart was burning on fire. I knew I didn't go down and call to preach. I just went down to praise God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It was in there. It was burning. It was churning. I went back and started talking to all the preachers around my area. And I said, man, how you know if you call to preach? I said, son, if you can do anything else, if you can do anything else in the world, then you're not called to preach. And I'm like, what? I ain't the smartest guy in the world, man, but I'm a thinker. Are you serious? That's the way it is, son. God bless you, Brother Hicks. That's the way it is. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm going on record for this. For 9 months, I went total crazy. I said, are you kidding me? I got to try everything else in the world. I got to do all this. And I'm going to tell you something. Sitting back on a Holy Ghost conviction, another preacher 9 months later preached on salvation. And I said, God, I'm going to tell you something before I get up. I can't take this no more. I'm fixing to walk this aisle. And when I fall on my face, I'm surrendering to preach. And all I know to do is be honest with you. Amen. I'm going to preach until you stop me. I was 20 years ago, my friend. He ain't stopped me yet. You listen to me. What you better do is just get your eyes on the Father and forget about everything else. If you worry about embarrassing yourself, you're an idiot. I embarrass myself every single time that I stand in the pulpit. I rip the English, grammatical, all that errors at just one time after another. You know, I wish it wasn't like that. And I'm going to tell you, I try and I work at it. But you know what? That's never stopping me from coming to and fro this book right here. Not whatever. I'm embarrassed of it. I'm going to tell you, I work at it. Buddy, I lied, cheated, and stole and went all the way through high school. I got everybody else to do my work and that's no excuse. I had to backtrack and learn everything I possibly could to make it through college. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to this book, cut me loose and I ain't worried about anything. We lived on a farm. My daddy was 41 years old when I was born. We still plowed with a mule. And I done caught a rabbit track, Brother Cox. That always happens, you know. He plowed with a mule, and I remember that old mule died out there one day in the yard. And I said, what are we going to do, Dad? He said, I tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to buy another mule, amen. But if my daddy took that old 1953 Jubilee tractor and he hooked a chain to it, and a single tree plow stopped behind it. He said, boy, it's high time that you learn how to plow these fields. Now grab a hold of this plow stock, boy, and let's turn this watermelon patch. I said, hallelujah, amen. This will make a man out of you, buddy. I grabbed a hold of that thing. How hard can it be? He makes it look straight, and boy, he took off, and I went like this, and he went, and when I did, I looked behind me, and when I looked behind me, it shot out like this, and boy, he looked back, and my daddy had a way with him. He had a way with him. There was warnings. The first warning was just a nod of the head like that. And he took off again, and it did his plow. And I hit a little old bump there in the row, and that thing jumped. And when it jumped, I looked behind me, and it snatched back over again and like to broke my collarbone. And then he had number two. Number two was to take the cap off and wipe the sweat off the forehead. And I said, oh, no, I know what that is. There's only three of them, amen. And he turned back around on this row. When he turned on that row, he started pulling again. The same exact thing happened. It had a root, and when it did, it jumped, and I looked behind me, and it jumped out there like that. He threw that thing up in neutral. He come straight back. He walked up to me. He said, boy, do not look behind you. You look at your father's son. What was he saying?
Amen.
You're going to make plenty of mistakes, boy, but you keep looking behind you, you're going to make 10 times more. You keep your eyes on your father, and you'll keep on plowing, and eventually you're going to be plowing straight, son. Young man, I'm telling you, you quit fooling around. Some of you other men, you done got up in your 20s and 30s, and you know God's calling you into ministry, and you, why am I plowing straight? I say, son, keep your mind and your heart on the father.
Amen. Amen.
What do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? You get destruction, salvation, proclamation, and praise God, transportation, amen. Praise God is still in the book. We are checking out of here one day. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that ye should, that the day should overtake you as a thief, but you are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Hey,
how much time have you ever sat down and thought about the rapture? I do often. That tsunami, nothing as horrible as that was. Katrina, we still talk about today. Not a scratch on the surface. You imagine every tractor trailer that is manned with a born-again Christian running 70 miles an hour. Can you imagine every airline that is flying, the thousands of the major airlines, that some soul winner has led to Christ, the captains? And I could go on and on and on. The moment, the second that Jesus raptures us out is sudden destruction on this earth. It's going to lead to multiplied tens of millions of death. The hospitals are not going to be able to contain them.
Right.
The morgues are not going to be able to contain them. The filth. All of this in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Huh? Are you 100% sure you're checking out tonight? I said 100%. What about that friend or that relative that just got placed in your mind tonight? The one you've been putting off and putting off and putting off and putting off to go see. Let me tell you, it's going to be the sweetest thing in the world for us when we check out of here. But it's going to be the worst thing imaginable to the ones that are left behind. I don't want to close, but I got to. The rapture's going to be wonderful, folks. We're leaving this place. And this thing about quitting, it ought to not be a thought in your mind, your heart, and your soul. You done come too far. You done rode too long to ever entice that word quit in your mind. What do you get when Satan comes out of the shadows? Number one, destruction. Number two, salvation. Number three, proclamation. Number four, transportation. And number five, hesitation. Hesitation. Hesitation is the worst killer. I'll guarantee you, I'm speaking to great people tonight. I bet 99.9% of the people that are under the sound of my voice believe every single thing that I've said tonight. Wouldn't disagree with anything that I've said. But you're hoarding in your heart and your soul hesitation. What is it that the Spirit of God tonight has made real to you that you're hesitated? Is it you, son, that God's called you into the ministry? Are you just hesitating, saying, I don't know, I got to make my mind up. I got to see how this thing works out. I got to see what opportunities come my way. Let me tell you something. Satan sent you opportunities. Satan sent me plenty of opportunities. I had a business that I started myself in my 20s that I had already sat down and figured within 10 years that I could retire and never work again for the rest of my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's Satan, friend. Satan put that right in front of me to entice me, and I'm going to tell I fell on my face before God one night in a bedroom and I said, God, if this money's going to have anything to do with my relationship with you, then I beg you to send me somewhere else. And he did, amen. He sent me to safety. You are looking at the happiest individual that you'll ever meet in your life, son. God has blessed me beyond measure. God has given me the wife that I've always wanted, the children that I've always desired, the ministry way beyond that I could ever imagine in life. Peace and serenity and joy day by day.
Amen.
And he's not a respecter of person. But that hesitation. I'm not giving an invitation whatsoever. I'm not going to stop the service. We're going to move right in. But I'm going to tell you right now, quickly, if God has spoke to your heart about anything, you make your way to this old-fashioned altar that quick right now. I'm going to close here in about 5 more minutes, friend. And I'm going to tell you something. Move if God is moving you. If not, I'm going to shut it on down and we're going to move on. What are you hesitating about? What is putting the brakes on your ministry? What is putting the brakes on your marriage? Huh? Let's get honest tonight. Let's get real tonight. What's putting the brakes on the relationship between you and mom and dad, young lady? What's putting the brakes between you and mom and dad, son? Huh? We don't get this sin and pride out of our life and do something about it. It's going to send us right back to point number one, and it's called destruction. We are so stinking full of pride today. We quench the Holy Spirit of God. We shut him down and move him down and push him out and hesitate. And I'm going to tell you something. He's knocking, 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 and we won't let him rule and reign. What happens when Satan comes out of the shadows? Father, we sure do thank you. We sure do love you. We praise your name tonight. We thank you for the book. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you, dear God, for salvation. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would continue to move and rule and reign in this service and the services to come. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.